Welcome to the British History Podcast. If you love British history, then you are definitely in the right place. My name is Philippa, and I will be taking you through British history, the people, the events, the intrigue. Some of the stories you may think you know, but you don't know them in the way I tell them. And then hopefully, I will also be able to introduce you to something new too. Now, this podcast is free, and it always will be. But if you would like more History Lover benefits, then please consider coming and joining me over on Patreon at patreon.com/British History. But for now, let's get into today's episode.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's Thursday Tea Time Live. I'm streaming live on YouTube and Instagram because we're giving Instagram a try instead of Facebook because there was too many technical issues and life's too short for technical issues, yeah? So welcome. Thank you if you're joining me live. Thank you if you're joining me on catch up, including you who I know listen on the podcast. We get as many listeners on the podcast catching up as we do viewing it on IGTV or YouTube. So hi, everybody. Welcome. I'm trying a new setup here, but it means I can't quite see if you make me a comment on IGTV. So I will just sit up straight like I should anyway, so that I can see the screens. So please do drop me a hi. Let me know where you're watching from. And throw me any history questions, anything that may be happening in history news at the moment that you're interested in, please let me know. I'm just going to shut down my mail so we stop getting pinging noises. There we go. So I've got quite a bit that I wanted to cover with you today. But like I say hi, ask me any questions. It's always good to start a conversation. Maybe something that I'm covering will prompt you. If you're watching on YouTube, you can send me a super chat. And if you're a YouTube member, you have your special custom emojis with the teacup, which you can use. Hiya, Andrea. Loving your chats on Clubhouse. Fabulous. I'm going to be having a little talk about Clubhouse as well, as usual, just to let you know what we've been talking about and what we've got coming up on Clubhouse. Because, of course, you now know that it is open to everybody. Doesn't matter if you're on Android or iPhone, it should be open to everyone at I believe. So Andrea's joining us from North Carolina. So I love how we all get together from all over the world for this, isn't it, Ace? It's brilliant. So I have just finished uploading, seat of my pants timing, because I was uploading to YouTube, a video with Gareth Williams. Now, I don't, any of you who joined me, my hair's doing funny things today. Anyone who joined me a few weeks ago, more than a few weeks ago now, I was talking to you about Leslie Smith. She is the curator at a place called Tutbury Castle in Derbyshire. And she is a historian that looks at the Tudor period. You might have also seen her. She's been on TV a lot talking about sort of paranormal activities as well. But anyway, she's an incredible historian, but she can she reenacts, basically. But it's as if you are listening to whatever character she's taking on. It's as if you're listening to her. And her husband is hi. I can't remember, sorry, Roro, remind me please. And you are joining us from Long Island. Welcome. Her husband is Professor Gareth Williams, and he's a curator at the British Museum. He looks at coins, but hoard finds, and so he's right back in the kind of, what period do we call it? It's around the Norman Conquest and before and beyond. And I've just uploaded a talk I had with him, and it followed on from the talk that Leslie gave about Mary Queen of Scots. And then she said, have a chat with Gareth, just have a chat with Gareth. And I kept the video rolling. And you know, because when you're doing when you're recording, especially Zoom chats, the fright that you get when you click on the end and think, please let that have saved, please let that have saved. So anyway, I didn't touch anything and I just carried on having this chat with Gareth. And this chat with Gareth turned into a really, really interesting, it wasn't just a bit of a catch-up. We talked about archaeology, but about the finds specifically and what archaeology is always still telling us. And of course, when you're looking at a period as far back as 1,000 years ago, you are more reliant on physical finds than you are, say, documents, because they're not as likely to have survived. And we talked about the fact that actually these kind of finds are more frequent now than they have been at any time in the past. He estimates that he's looked at more coins in the last 10 years than any of his sort of predecessors would have looked at in the last 100 years. And it was sort of presumed in the 1960s that all the finds had been uncovered. But of course, that hasn't been true. And it's been true for various reasons. And we went into that. We went into, well, why are hoards? You know, why do we suddenly find big collections of things all in one place? And it sounds like we're really straightforward, but there's lots of different reasons. But one of the really interesting things that he talked about, and this is, it links back to a Clubhouse room we did last night, is how when there's a find, you have to be open-minded, basically, because it, Roseanne, hi, welcome. Yes, of course, it's Roseanne. Hi. When they make these finds, is going to challenge, or could challenge, and does challenge quite frequently, what we already think we know. So what we already think we understand, the received history, the basis from which we've gone on and spoken about other bits and bobs. And, you know, so you so for instance, you uncover a coin that has a different head on it. Nobody struck a coin about somebody insignificant. You know, so, and this is the date such and such and such and blah, 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 blah. So there's a really specific, interesting find that he talks about, which appears to show, I've done a little bit of trailer on, and I think I've included the tiny bit of a bit about this, that between the Battle of Hastings, so, and Harold, King Harold being killed, and William the Conqueror being crowned on Christmas Day. So the Battle of Hastings was that in October. Anyway, that 2 or 3 months, it wasn't just a William's won, William goes and gets crowned. There appears to be evidence that there were many contenders for taking on the throne of England, including a woman. Oh my God. So Harold Godwinson's sister appears to have been a serious contender for the throne of England between the time of her brother Harold Godwinson, King Harold, dying at the Battle of Hastings, and William of Normandy being crowned William I at Westminster Abbey on Christmas Day, 1066. Now, not only does that throw into the mix a new figure, a new person that we hadn't known about or considered or heard about in popular history. Think about the fact that she's a woman. And if we just looked at my ruler, you'll see man, 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 until Jane's missed out. She should be there. And we get Mary the First. Okay, so then there's this assumption that comes up. that women weren't allowed to rule, that no one would, you know, that it was just women were not going to rule, and that that is a more modern phenomenon for women to be in power. So you get a horde, which Shelby likes my ruler. The ruler is always popular. I have two, actually. Do you want to see my other one? This is my other one that has a little cartoon of everybody on it. And this one does have Jane on it. So this one is probably my favourite. And it also has Edward the Eighth is always depicted looking, he's turning his back on the throne, because that's what he did. He abdicated. So you've got a woman being a serious contender, potentially a serious contender for the throne of England in 1066. So Joy is saying about Matilda. Exactly, the anarchy, this time period where Stephen took the throne, but Matilda had been nominated as the successor to her father, and 19 years that went on. So that's not Matilda didn't get to the throne because Matilda's a woman. If you think about it, she had enough support that that there was 19 years of that going on. And I'm going to be talking to Matt Lewis, actually, who's written a book about the anarchy. I'm going to be talking to him when I've sorted a date out with him. He might be watching going, are we? We are, but I haven't sorted a date out with him. To go into that, to look at that. And actually, I want to pick Gareth Williams' brains about that as well, because obviously this is, this is within his remit as well. But on a bigger scale as well, this archaeology that gets, so anyone who's just joining me, I'm talking about the fact that I've just uploaded for my patrons over on patreon.com/British History, an interview with Gareth Williams, who is one of the curators at the British Museum. And he looks at I can't think of his full title. I need to have a look. But it's coins. And so he would be looking after things like the Staffordshire Hoard, if you've heard of that. And how when this new evidence, or when a new hoard is found, and it provides evidence, not just for what we already know, but it can often challenge what we think we already know, not just about a specific event, but then if you start to build on that and extrapolate out from what we think we know, like, for instance, women didn't take positions of power until sort of the 16th century, then something like finding a coin with Harold's sister's head on it, I'm not actually sure what they found, but say it's that, that shows that. Yeah. And like Joy brought up, Matilda is a great example of that as well. Matilda, because she never became queen, because she's not on my ruler. I don't know how everyone else feels about this, but I feel like we're in a time where it's a little bit too this camp or this camp in so many different arguments. And we really are. We talk about nuance all the time, or it's talked about nuance is talked about all the time and then dismissed. It's a much more nuanced discussion, but then let's go back to talking about women versus men, and it's just, but anyway, my point is that the archaeology that's coming out of the ground is giving these challenges all the time, and it's coming out the ground thick and fast as well. So there's the other exciting thing. According to Gareth, we are nowhere near close to everything being found. And like I said, he went into the reasons why certain things were might have been buried. So if you're in my Patreon club, the British History, by Roseanne, so she's got to go to school. So if you're in your Patreon, you'd be able to see this interview, and he goes into it. So for something that we just thought was going to be a quick chat, and thankfully I left the camera rolling. It was extremely fascinating, and that links back to what we were talking about on Clubhouse last night. Excuse me, I need to take a cup of my at Sip of My Tea. It is Thursday tea time, of course. So Clubhouse last night, we were talking about what things out of history make people irrationally angry. we shared some of our own, and other people came up and shared theirs as well. If you've got something that gets your goat, or that you know, if mentioned, you know there's going to be a bit of a storm afterwards, in the comments or whatever, wherever you see it, or in person even, let me know, because it's really interesting. So what do we had, as you know from last week, I've done a trail for patrons again, but about the Magna Carta. And years ago, I made a mistake of saying that Magna Carta had been signed, which I dare anyone to give that a go on the 12th of June and see what happens, especially on Twitter, because of course it wasn't signed. A seal was put on it, King John's seal. So it was sealed, but as in the seal was added to it. So it's not even like it was sealed like a letter. So that was one thing that people get irrationally angry about. Of course, Joy's just mentioned the Wars of the Roses and Yorkist women helping to end the Wars of the Roses. The thing, right, so I don't you find with, and Michael on YouTube has mentioned Catherine of Aragon, she was effectively regent while Henry VIII was over in France. And this was at the time where the English fought the Scots, and James IV was killed in battle. So that's the thing, is it? There's not one person ever totally in charge or often responsible wholly for the outcome of something. I mean, even with Catherine, she had extremely good, you wouldn't call them generals, but those in charge of the army. I can't think of who was actually heading up the troops in the north of England at that time. But it's you know, I think we talk about this a lot, don't we? How history gets reduced and sort of condensed and made simple. Hello, welcome from Argentina. Yeah, you've got people from all over today. Thank you so much for joining. So that was Clubhouse last night. That was fun. What else? There must have been other things. So definitely Duke of Surrey. Thank you, Michael. So we talked about the princes in the tower, kind of Richard and Henry III thing. And actually that went on to a discussion about how people fall into camps, and there's kind of like fan clubs for particular people out of, you know, personalities out of history, should we say, like there is for people alive now. And then the temptation is, if you're in those kind of things that, or in that kind of idea, that you don't entertain the idea of anything that then goes against what you'd like to believe. This is human nature, by the way. This isn't a criticism of anybody. But it links back to what Gareth was saying about, you know, you pull out a hoard out of the ground, and it's got, he talked about a hoard that was of King Alfred's time. And there's a hoard that seems to suggest that there was maybe a co-ruler or somebody else who was just as powerful, you know, powerful or as important at the time. Now, if you're a big King Alfred fan and you don't want to know that, you don't want to think about that, but that's going to be the case. And he also talked about another hoard that was brought out of the, I don't know if it was the Sutton Hoo. It was a big hoard. It might even been the stuff. I can't remember which one it was. Experts at the time said that hoard couldn't possibly have been found where it was found, because it says, sorry, if you're on Instagram and it's, did it just block out there? Sorry, my signal went. And the expert said that hoard couldn't possibly have been found. It was a Viking hoard where you're saying it was found. It must have been moved because Vikings weren't active in that area. And that's because their initial reaction was to say, well, that doesn't go with what we already believe and what I've already written a book about, basically, some of these people. But obviously it was a challenge to what they already thought they knew. And this is what history is, and this is how you get the most out of it as well, I think. Be open-minded, allow yourself to be challenged. And if you're falling into a camp of, you know, I love Anne Boleyn, so she couldn't have possibly done anything wrong, or I love Richard III and he couldn't have possibly done anything wrong, then, you know, you're kind of losing out on some of the real colour of the stories. Michael, my favourite character was James Graham's Marquis of Montrose. Oh, you obviously know more about that than me. I don't know who he was. Oh. So let me tell you more about... what else have we got going on? It would have been Prince Philip's 100th birthday today. Has anyone, I presume you've probably all seen that on the news. And I saw that the Queen has planted a rose, which was a gift from the Royal Horticultural Society. Isn't that lovely? So, and she has her official birthday on Saturday because the Queen has an official birthday, which is as well as her real birthday. So her official birthday tends to be a more... We've normally got Trooping of the Colour, and that's not happening this year because of COVID. But there is there's going to be some sort of parade at Windsor. Apparently it happens. I thought it was linked to her accession to the throne, but apparently it's just because her birthday doesn't fall within the summer months. And if you have a monarch whose birthday doesn't occur within the summer months, they give them a summer birthday to allow for better weather for parades. There you go. It's not quite as interesting as an official birthday on your accession, but there you go. And I think she's meeting Biden as well soon, and apparently I'm not particularly, like, you know, sort of whatever. The interesting thing about that is that she's met every American president other than one. Lyndon Johnson is the only one she's not met. So I think Biden becomes the 14th American president that she's met. So yeah, there's a little bit of sort of history in the news. Next on Clubhouse, tonight, Gail Thomas, I don't know if any of you follow her on British Sovereigns and Royals on Facebook, she is going to be on Clubhouse talking about the wedding dresses. Kensington Palace has a new exhibition. They do fashion exhibitions quite a lot, actually. I've seen a lot of Diana's clothes, Princess Margaret's clothes, and the Queen's clothes. They have tiny waists. Oh my goodness, tiny. They've had exhibitions with those on in the past, but they've got a new one and it includes Princess Diana's wedding dress. And so Gail is going to be doing a Clubhouse room tonight at 7 o'clock in the History and Culture Club, which you can follow on Instagram as well. And she's going to be talking there about sort of modernish from Victoria onwards, weddings, and the dress and what the men wore and all sorts. So that should be quite fun. And then tomorrow, I'd love for you to all join us for this one. If you're around, it's 5 o'clock London time. And we're talking about who in history. Good morning, Colleen. We are talking. Yes. Yeah, so tomorrow, in fact, you could tell me now, actually, if you want, who would you, out of history, and it doesn't have to be somebody famous either, so you could say, anyway, who would you like to meet? Who would you like to meet out of history? It could be, I don't know, a saddle maker, a needle maker, whatever. And we're going to be talking about that on Clubhouse tomorrow night. Who would we like to meet out of history? What would you ask them? What would you want to know? Michael would like to meet Napoleon. What would you ask him, Michael? What were you doing? What were you thinking? Yes. So So I think that's going to be quite a fun and lively discussion. Last night we were joined up on stage by Phil Downing, who is the house manager at a place called Harvington Hall, which if you don't already follow or haven't Googled, do that. They have got 7 priest hides. It's a Tudor house. Its roots go further back than that. But in the time of Elizabeth, and actually throughout, a Catholic family has always owned it. And so it's a great place to learn about how a Catholic family kind of survived the reigns of, well, the reign of Elizabeth especially. Because although Elizabeth, when she came to the throne, I think was personally quite determined to be a religious, to kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? She wanted to just let people kind of live. She said, I don't need windows into men's souls. But of course, as her reign went on, the threat she was being told was coming from, there was a threat from Catholic Europe especially, and this is what Mary Queen of Scots as well was also tied up in. She became, and her council became, much less tolerant, to the point of intolerance actually, for Catholics, for Catholic practices especially. Hi Jack, thank you for joining us. Michael says there's a priest hole at Maytham Manor in East Moseley. Oh, near to Hampton Court Palace, East Moseley, yes. So Harvington Hall has 7, which is quite interesting. Colleen, I watched a tour on the Tudor Society. Colleen, was that not me? I did a roving reporter for the Tudor Society from Harvington Hall. So perhaps that was me. Maybe I had dark hair at the time. I can't remember. It was a little while ago. I think it was one of the first ones I did for them. So, yeah, it's very interesting. It's interesting to see how the architecture worked, how they hid those things. Colleen can't remember if it was me or not. But do you not remember my accent? Oh dear. Oh, Jack the Ripper's telling me he loves me and he wants me to come outside. I think I'll pass. Colleen watched my tour of Hever. Fantastic, lovely. Oh, that was more recent. I managed to do that, you know, in between the second lockdown, which was supposed to be the last one, and the third one, which turned into basically we're not quite out of it yet. I was really lucky I got there and did that in that gap. So what else have we got? So yes, so we're going to be talking about, we're going to be telling people who we would like to meet, who we would like, if we had the chance to meet from history. I'm going to really think about that. I think there's a few people who actually, given the chance, I would like to really press on what they were up to. I'm going to think on that more before I say any more. And then Sunday, if you'd like to join myself and Deb Royal from Tudor Times, we are taking a virtual trip, if you like, to see the castle. Because on a Sunday, we talk about travelling Tudor Britain. And we always feature a place and talk about its links to Tudor history, wider history as well, if we get chance, and what it's like to visit, what you want to see if you're going there, and also what else is in the area. So last Sunday, we talked about Ludlow Castle, which, and if you've been following me for a while, you've heard me talk about Ludlow so much. And this Sunday, we're going to be talking about Sudley Castle. So that'll be fun. And then I can't remember what we're doing Monday. Monday at 5 o'clock, we have our normal history half hour room. So we'll be doing that. And I actually have a couple of trips coming up. actual physical trips. So you'll know that I went to London a couple of weeks ago. If you haven't caught the Elizabeth I statue video that I've got on Instagram, please do go and have a look at that. It's the oldest outdoor statue in London, which is kind of, yeah, okay. But the fact that it's contemporary to Elizabeth, it was created in her lifetime, makes it super special, and it is really quite hidden. You can easily go past it. So I went down and did a video so that you can see it. So if you haven't seen that already, please go and check that out. But yes, I'm going to actually be going to Tutbury Castle. I've already spoken about Leslie from Tutbury. I'm going to be going there in a couple of weeks. And what I might do, I'm not sure yet, is instead of doing my Thursday Tea Time Live, is I might do it as a live from Tutbury. I'll have to think about that. Maybe that's what I'll do. And I'm also going to be popping back down to London as well. I don't think I'll be doing any filming, but I'll be doing lots of photographs. So you can check out my Instagram and I'll tell you all about it when I get back from that as well. But later on today, I am interviewing a lady called Katie Wignall. Now, she has got a huge following on Instagram. Her handle on Instagram is at Look at London. And she has put together this book. She's a blue badge guide. So she's got this abandoned London book, politely called a coffee table book. It's basically an adult picture book. It's absolutely full of pictures of places around London, which are abandoned now. Some of them actually since the book have been redeveloped. It's fascinating. And I'm going to be talking to her. There's over 200 photos in there. So I've picked out a few that I want to delve into the stories of the sites a little bit more. A lot of them, the ones that fascinate me are the ones that are places where there was once a lot of activity, you know, somewhere where people were all the time. So you've got places that people worked, you've got the public baths, which were baths. Yeah, this is where people went to wash as well as there being a pool for exercise. So we're going to talk about that one. I wanted to talk about that one. There's abandoned social clubs. You know, you can imagine these places had a buzz and people would go to work and then they'd be in there after work or their Friday night or whatever. And now they're just empty because the industry went and then therefore where they socialized went. So anyway, so I will be talking to Katie this afternoon. I'm recording that and I'll put that out sometime soon. I haven't decided when. But look out for that. I will obviously let you know. I haven't done many of my short videos for YouTube in the past couple of weeks. It's just been time, my editing time. I just haven't had any, unfortunately. So they will probably come out thick and fast very soon. But I have done one. It's a short, which means it's under 60 seconds, about the first record of whiskey ever recorded, aqua vitae, is that how you say it? So the water of life. Yeah, is that what it's called? Anyway, watch the short, it's in there. not one of my videos, but an interview that I really, really highly recommend you have a look at if you're interested in the Tudors, is Sarah Morris's talk with Dermot McCulloch. Colleen, her favourite short. Well, it's a short about whiskey, which I thought was perfect. Yeah. And you'll notice I chose the cover photo is whiskey without ice. I'm not a whiskey connoisseur at all, but I think if it's a good whiskey, you don't need ice with it. Is that right? So anyway, so I did choose that on purpose. But yes, please, I would definitely recommend looking at Sarah Morris's interview with Dermot McCulloch. It was recorded live last Friday. Her channel is the Tudor Travel Guide. So I think you'll really enjoy that. He spent 4 years researching Thomas Cromwell, going through his papers And so that, you know, being then able to write his huge book about Thomas Cromwell. So if you'd like to see some high level, but very, I was going to say high level insights. That's not quite right. Obviously, there's not the amount that he would have covered in his book in this interview, but there's some very interesting things that challenge what we might already think of about Henry's court, Henry VIII's court, and Thomas Cromwell himself. So I think that's all I've got for you today. Hi, Steve. Thank you very much. Thank you. So, like I say, I'm going to be trying to get some more videos out soon. They're actually recorded. It's just editing time. Hi, Soledad. Welcome. So I will let you know. You'll probably see them pop up anyway. And my patrons, please head over to Patreon. I think you can do it on your app as well, or go to patreon.com/British History. And I'm about to post the interview with Gareth Williams about all those interesting archaeological finds and how they're challenging what we think we know around the conquest, around sort of female power at the time. It's really fascinating. So please head over to that, to Patreon, and you can get that. I'm going to post it as soon as I get off here. So thank you all so much for joining me. Please do join me next week for Thursday Tea Time Live. And I wish you a lovely week. And join me on Clubhouse if you can. Come and say hi on Instagram and YouTube, as always. So thank you all very much, everybody. Have a fabulous day. Bye. Bye, everyone.